just did.
Okay, go ahead, you're good.
So yeah, I did that for 10 years.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the November 13th, 2025 meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Public participation is encouraged in person and via Zoom. Public comment will be accepted during the open forum portion of the meeting. If you are attending in person and wish to speak during open forum, please complete a speaker request form and turn it into the clerk prior to the start of open forum. If you are participating via Zoom and would like to speak during open forum, please click the raise hand icon in Zoom or dial *9 when open forum is called. When you are called upon to make your comment, unmute yourself or dial *6. For those calling in, you will be called upon by your telephone number. Please state your name if you wish to identify yourself prior to speaking. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Alrighty. One moment. So I'm giving the opening reflection. That's the next on the agenda. I found a quote. I want to tell you, I didn't hear it myself. It's Mr. Rogers. I don't watch that show that much anymore, but I did enjoy the quote, and I'll share it with you, which is, "One of the greatest gifts you can give anybody is the gift of your honest self." And I like that quote when we talk about human relations, because when we open up who we are, our kindness, our experiences, our real selves, it encourages other people to open up too. And I think that's how we build real connections. When we truly know each other, prejudice has a much harder time taking root. It is easier to judge people when we don't know them, but much harder when we understand their lives and their hearts. And sharing ourselves helps others feel safe to do the same. And that is one way we create a more peaceful and welcoming community.
Amen.
Monthly summary of commission activities. You want to share?
Anything to share?
My part is included later.
Okay, that's good. All right, we will open up open forum at this time. Members of the public may address the commission on any matter within the jurisdiction of the commission. And we may limit as I described earlier.
We have 3 speakers, 2 in person and 1 via Zoom. Do you have a preference which one you want to take
first? Let's let the in-person folks speak
okay.
First since they showed up.
The first speaker is Kalita Gardner.
Good morning. I don't know if it's protocol for me to stand.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Okay, I'll stay seated. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kalita Gardner, and I serve as the Executive Director of the Health Equity for African Americans League, also known as HEAL. Our collective is comprised of predominantly 5 Black churches in Orange County and community members. And together we serve more than 10,000 congregants and countless others in the wider community who look to us as trusted messengers. Through the Equity in OC initiative, HEAL became the first collective to produce a statistically significant report on the social determinants of health affecting the Black community in Orange County. And we got support from Advance OC to make that one that is a stable environment for data. In partnership with the Black Chamber of Commerce, we also produced the Black Blueprint, which is a report that documents both historic and current trends impacting the Black residents in Orange County. HEAL is proud to be a member of the Black Solidarity Network also, further strengthening our collective voice. After reviewing the Department of Justice's 2025 hate crime report, I have concluded that the report underrepresents the true extent of hate crimes in Orange County, particularly those targeting Black and Latino members of our community. This underreporting has serious implications for equity, safety, and trust. I am offering my participation in the Commission's effort to develop real solutions. We believe in not calling people out, but calling them in to make a better change. HEAL brings not only data-driven insights, but also deep community connections and lived experience. We stand ready to contribute to the strategies that ensure accountability, improve reporting accuracy, and protect our vulnerable communities. If you would like, I also have brought copies of our report as well as the Black Blueprint report. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Our next speaker in person is Bobby McDonald.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Bobby McDonald. I'm the president of the Black Chamber of Commerce here in Orange County. Come February, it will be 42 years here in the county. Black Chamber is also in partnership with Groundswell, the Orange County Black Solidarity Network, the African American Lions Fund, HEAL, and several other community groups. I'm here today because we are interested to hear about how the Human Relations Commission is going to collect hate crime and hate incidents data. We're also interested in knowing more about the Orange County District Attorney Office of Hate Crimes and their involvement with the commission and the outreach, their outreach program. Lastly, the Black Chamber is here to offer support. Thank you.
Okay, and then our one Zoom is Eric, and I'm gonna, I never remember how to pronounce his last name.
Nishanian.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, good morning. It's Eric Nishanian. Just wanted to bring up that you guys did not acknowledge that October was the 40th anniversary of the greatest, most significant hate crime and terrorist act in Orange County, the assassination of Alex O'Day, a Palestinian Christian, by Jewish Zionists. Why do I bring this up now? Well, because there was a lot of conflict that occurred last year and the year before regarding the Gaza conflict and these chambers and also the county and Irvine regarding the Gaza conflict and the conflicts that are happening in the Middle East. And one of the things that people like Lauren Johnson Norris and Rabbi Steinberg omit are the Christians that have been affected in the Middle East and how they are the ones that are actually being squeezed out by these conflicts. That's number one. With regard to Bobby McDonald, Bobby, Farrakhan is a known prejudicial liar. She showed prejudice towards Armenians in the community, and Irvine had to pledge space at the Great Park for a genocide memorial. That also goes out to the Black community. Is why is the Church of the Redeemer in Irvine employing Farrakhan and seeking trust from the general community? And why is the Black community allowing that and also turning around seeking trust? She committed a hate incident against Armenians that was so big that there was a backlash in chambers. And the same thing, Chief Kent, Waleed, Farrakhan is a known, prejudicial liar. Why are you taking pictures with her at events? Why are you bolstering her? You want to take pictures with a known Holocaust denier, are a known KKK operative, are a known neo-Nazi at an event. Why are you taking pictures with Farrakhan? Why isn't this committee discussing what happened with Farrakhan in the local Armenian community? There are Armenian churches here. There are Armenian schools here. They've been here for 40 years too. And none of you are saying anything about it. And you're trying to seek credibility and accountability of others for incidents and hate crimes. Lastly, the ADL has now acknowledged that they are not a civil rights organization or a human rights organization. This happened within the last 2 weeks. They also have now have a Mamdani monitor, which seems Islamophobic, and progressive Jews have acknowledged that it's Islamophobic and racist. Can we stop associating and collaborating with the Anti-Defamation League now? Rabbi Steinberg, Lauren Johnson Norris, thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question of our speaker?
If the speaker wants to answer.
Yes. I'm just curious about health equity. Say just a word or two about what that means.
So, excuse me, HEAL, Health Equity for African Americans League, focused on the social determinants that are affecting the Black community. We are
health-wise or just altogether.
So social determinants include not only mental but physical health, access to affordable health care solutions, and what we found was there is discrimination even in the health system.
Yeah.
Housing is a matter of health as well, so we look at those issues as well as social justice.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd love to see the report.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, now we'll move on to hearing speakers' presentation. We have none? All right. Our action items include approving the 2026 Human Relations Commission meeting calendar. Did everyone get the calendar? Okay. And
Chair, if I may, I just wanted to point out that typically we meet the second Thursday of the month at 11. However, in February, we're recommending to move that up a week till the 5th because we have a county holiday involved. Our office is closed.
Do we need to take a vote on the calendar? All right. So I will move the calendar. Do you have a second?
So second.
Is there any discussion with regard to the calendar?
I just know in advance that I'm unavailable for the February date, but otherwise I...
Not opposing the calendar,
no.
Desk.
Her own calendar, maybe, but not a.
Yes, my home calendar.
All right, then. Can we take a vote on the calendar? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Moving on to information items. Oh, and for the record, that passes. Information item number 5: Received the update on the 2024 hate crime report.
So as you are aware, the hate crimes reports, they're in arrears. So we will be basing the 2024 report on that data that was released by the Department of Justice in the summer. And we're working on that report, and we have an update from Chris Lynn, who is the lead, she's our data analytics manager in the CEO's office of the county, and she'll give us an update as to where we're at on that.
Everyone, so currently the report is being drafted, was completed with the draft. It will be similar to last year's report, so as discussed in previous meetings, we'll be using the data that had been reported by all 41 reporting agencies in Orange County to the Department of Justice. It was the data that all the agencies submitted for the year. It's hate crime data that was submitted, so just to be clear about that. So that's all the PDs, the Highway Patrol in Orange County, Camp Orange County, and the Railroad Authorities data up to the DOJ. So this year, all agencies were able to submit complete data. Unlike last year, we talked about there were 4 reporting agencies and partial reporting. So this year, the numbers are slightly up. So the total was 119 hate crimes reported by our agencies last year with that number, although there's that caveat to it, was 95 in the previous year before that with the full reporting was 112. So it is slightly higher, although we do know there's issues with, as discussed, hate crime reporting overall in Orange County. 12 of them are multi-biased reports, so more than one thing going on with the. I think that's about it. So it will also include county district attorney cases submitted and how they move forward submitting them or rejecting the cases that were submitted to the Orange County District Office as well, and some case examples highlighting what we discussed here, the grant moving forward and the work done this year and the next year.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. The first one, you speak of multi-bias, does that mean that the hate was targeted against more than one group?
So more than one bias was behind the crime, so that could be race, gender, religion, a combo of more than one. Yes.
And my second question, and this may go into our next information item, but one of the criticisms that we hear and legitimately and have discussed and continue to discuss is the underreporting also of hate crimes. And so I hope that we can hear from staff how our law enforcement partners are working to help the public be able to more easily report, but also engender trust for those reports. Otherwise, we are going to miss important information.
I just wanted to add to that, particularly for our guests who are here. I think this year the commission is a building year that we're figuring out our systems and whatnot, because another agency was running this data collection, and we really are trying to clean it up and make it as accurate as possible. But for as long as I've been on the commission, which is, you know, I don't know, 14 or 15 years, it's always been underreported. And I think one of the jobs of a public commission is to not only from our own auspices, but then to encourage the Board of Supervisors to really get the word out there, because use the word statistically significant. And I just know, just in my own life, I've heard in this past year more than 110 hate crime, hate incidents take place. And I always tell people that you need to report it, you need to report it. So we have a big PR campaign that we might want to think about in this next year, because once our collection systems are clean and really accurate, then we can have integrity in really pushing a message out there so that people report this, because those statistics drive healthcare, housing, all the things that we're talking about that are so interconnected and interwoven. But our stats have to be accurate, which I believe going forward will be very significant in terms of its reliability. But then we got to encourage people to share, because that's going to drive what the Board of Supervisors is going to do, what kind of grant money we can get. I mean, it just all works in that way. And I think having a public campaign is really a way to go in this regard.
And if I can add, and I agree, as we are building, we have to think about accuracy, getting the information out. But our most challenging piece will remain to be the institutional and historic mistrust in relationships between communities and law enforcement. And as we look to law enforcement to be reporters, especially like if we look at, for example, what's going on with ICE, right? If we're asking a community to be reporting things that are going on, but we have perceptions of who law enforcement is and what they're doing, we're gonna run up against those obstacles. And so that challenges us as a county to like socially improve these conditions. I don't know how to do that yet. I don't know that we'll figure it out, but I know we're going to try.
I was going to bring this up later on in the update from Orange County Chiefs and Sheriffs Association, but I'll just do it now. So the two things I was going to talk about is actually just came up. One of them was the underreporting, 100%. We all know that it is 100% happening, where members of our community are falling victims to either a hate crime or a hate incident. Even though a hate incident is not technically categorized as a crime, I look at it as them being a victim of a hate incident. You know, we're trying on our end, but I really think it comes down to exactly what you said, Chair, and that's the trust and that relationship between that specific law enforcement entity and that community. You know, I could tell you, like, for example, In my community, there's a lot of trust between us and our those that we serve, but I can't say the same about other communities, unfortunately. And that's something that we're working on. I think in Orange County, for the most part, we do a really good job. We have a pretty good relationship with the communities that we serve. But I know in other parts of the state, other parts of the country, definitely that's not existent. That's not existent. But I think it's the constant reminder. The constant conversations that we have internally within our organization and then collectively as part of the association, of always investing in the community and in building that trust, that relationship, that provides them the sense of trust and empowerment to be able to come forward and report what's happening within their mosques, their synagogues, the churches, the community centers, the schools, the neighborhoods. You know, to tell me that in a city for us, a population of 330,000 people, we're only getting about a dozen here and there. That's, mm-hmm. I just find that hard to believe. In this day and age that we live in, there's just so much happening in the state, in the country, in the world, and the numbers are not accurately depicting what's truly happening. And it's no fault to those that are collecting the data. I mean, that's just what's being reported. And I think it goes beyond law enforcement. It goes to the leaders within the community, mm-hmm. the imams, the rabbis, the priests, the community leaders, whether it's in the Latino community, the African-American community, the Middle Eastern community to tell those folks to be able to step up and come forward and share your story, share what happened to you. It's hard to say, you know, go out there and trust the police. Trust me, I've sat through all kinds of meetings, even within our own community, where there's been a lot of mistrust or just no trust in the police. But I think every encounter with a police officer, every encounter the other way around too, with a member of the community, is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to prove people wrong. It's 2025. I think things are changing. The amount of transparency that's out there is becoming more and more and more. But we can't give up. As law enforcement profession, we can't just, oh, well, that community just doesn't, they don't trust us, so we're just going to go. You can't do that. You can't have that mentality. But I would also ask those communities, like, give them a chance, and if not, hold them accountable. There's so many ways today that we can hold those in those types of, that serve in that kind of position, accountable. Let's take advantage of that. So in our meetings, in our Orange County Chiefs and Sheriff Association, we constantly talk about that. And that takes me to the second part of this, is the immigration component of things. It has been an absolute nightmare for our community, our county, obviously the whole state. But earlier in the year, mid-year, is when we started seeing a lot of those enforcement raids, going out in the field and just grabbing people left and right. And I'll tell you, as a representative of law enforcement, it's really hard to watch that. It's hard to watch that because you have people that look like us, that are dressed like us, that are taking enforcement action that is highly, highly controversial right now. And you know, we say this over and over, and I want to make sure I say it in this form. I've said it before, but just so everybody can hear it again, we do not partake in immigration enforcement. That is not what we do. Local police departments, any police department and sheriff's department in the state, we do not partake in immigration enforcement for a variety of reasons. But there's law, there's Senate Bill 54. We are not to do that. And quite frankly, a lot of police agencies prior to 2018, when Senate Bill 54 passed, were not practicing that either. So, you know, I think it's obviously a very challenging time. I'm curious to see how many of these reports are immigration related, where people feel like they're being targeted. I've heard reports of hate crimes or hate incidents involving federal agents, and how they're being, how the victims are being profiled or stopped just because of the way they look, or how well they speak English. So that is something I'm trying to track internally, even though it's a little bit challenging, but try to track and see how many of those we're starting to see. Our community is very different than some of the other Orange County communities as far as being targeted for immigration enforcement, but we have had a few occur within our community. So again, it goes back to working with our partners around the county, making sure we have accurate data. And I've said it before, the reports are obviously reflective of what's going on in the state. I think we need to narrow it down very specifically to our county. Let's start here. This is our home. Let's start with Orange County, and then we can expand and go outwards. But try to do some cross comparison with what's happening. Of course, those communications are ongoing, but to kind of respond to what you mentioned, Chariot, there, it's definitely a challenge when you have communities that just don't have that trust or faith in their local police department or their local sheriff's department. But we can't give up. We can't give up on the police, and the police cannot give up on the community. It's we're all part of the same fabric of the community, and I think it's important that we continue believing in each other and just giving each other a chance. As hard as that is, believe me, I know it's hard, but we have to try. We cannot give up on one another. So, thank you.
Thank you so much.
I could just give a little. About the report, is this year Irvine had the highest reported hate crimes, and that doesn't necessarily mean that Irvine had the highest happening. It's probably sure. From the work that is going on in Irvine, so maybe more of that and working with other people.
Does that cover item 5?
The report will be released by the end of the year to make sure which things focus on that.
In the past, we used to make a big deal of the release. You're going to wait another year to do that, you think?
I think so.
I think that's a wise move. Okay.
So do I. Item six, receive and file memorandum from Orange County District Attorney's Office on Department of Justice Hate Crimes Grant. So I know that Susie Price from District Attorney's Office was unable to be here today. So she asked that I would tee this up. And I know we have a couple of representatives here who have participated in the work group. But just as a reminder, the District Attorney's Office, they received a grant, the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Jr. Hate Crimes Grant from the U.S. Department of Justice. And as part of that grant, they have created a working group to work on hate incident and hate crime reporting here in Orange County. And so they've convened a working group, and we see in the memo who was involved in that. We had Captain Anderson from the Sheriff's Department, Mary Uzzotti, serves on our commission, Chris Lynn Nefest from the CEO's office, also representatives from United Way, as well as the District Attorney's Office. And so they've included a draft of the portal questions and in the intake form. And they are asking for your feedback and everyone's feedback on that. And so we ask that you reach out to, you know, your connections in the community, seek that feedback, and that can be reported back to Susie Price. And she's included her email address there. You can reach out to her directly at susan.price@ocdapa.org. And we look forward to that. I think they're looking to get this started after the first year, which is a really big lift, because talking to other, and I know many of you have talked to other groups across the state, this is very unique to take this on and try to find a way to capture those hate crimes and hate incidents. I'll turn over to Commissioner Uzzotti and then to Krislyn if you have anything else you'd like to add as part of that work group.
Thank you. Thank you for that summary. I really wanted to commend the District Attorney's Office, and particularly Senior Assistant District Attorney Susie Price. Their team has been really leaning in on this issue and taking a lot of significant strides, not only to address some of the comments and concerns from both the chair and from Commissioner Kent about getting the reporting from not just law enforcement agencies, but from other community groups. That was actually some of the primary comments that I personally made in as part of our working group in the and in attached, you'll see in the link, the different forms and questions. We really were focused not solely on identifying who is reporting a hate crime. While DOJ provides that data to us, it's widely accepted that it is not sufficient for us to achieve our goal of reducing and hopefully eliminating hate in Orange County. And so I really appreciate the forward step that the District Attorney's Office is taking on this matter. I do think they will be the model when this is completed. And I don't say that lightly. I'm happy that we are a part of it. And I really encourage not only the members that are here of the community in person, but anyone online to really take a moment, look at it, think through different options. The District Attorney's Office is very receptive to various different feedback. As you can see from the various people that are involved, we do have a lot of different groups, but frankly, not enough. And that's why we need the community's input. The goal in there, if you go through the actual intake form, you'll see that we're really trying to give people the opportunity to speak, whether they want to be anonymous or not. It's not the role of an individual to have to parse out whether something is a hate incident or a hate crime. They're already a victim of a crime. The goal is to have the trust and the faith that the systems of government will be there to support them, whether it be the various different organizations or whether it be law enforcement or ultimately the prosecutor who will end up pursuing the crime to the extent that one lawfully is able to be prosecuted. So you'll see that we made an effort to include both anonymity, and also we included an effort to try to avoid duplicate stats Because some folks will go to a community group, some folks will go to law enforcement, some folks will go to both, because it's out of the encouragement of the community group or the church or different, you know, facility to report it to law enforcement. And so in order to have that accurate reporting, there needs to be some built-in structure to avoid the duplicate reporting. We want accuracy. We want involvement and engagement from the community. And that really starts with all of the efforts from the district attorney's office. So please take a moment and respond. I know the district attorney's office is eager to get various different feedback, but I'm just grateful that they've taken the step forward. And I think that it's going to be a really wonderful tool for us to layer on top of the information that we get from the Department of Justice. Did you want to add something?
Yeah, so just to add, I think you did a really nice job wrapping it up and the what we're trying to achieve here. So we did a lot of work looking at what other agencies collect information around crimes. There never really is a straightforward way to do this, so it's often defined by hate event or hate act of hate, so different terminology because no one can ever really define what happened without DA involvement that we discussed. So a lot of the fields were developed to try to figure out that duplication and allow people the opportunity to question an event to put their information be reached out to, so that we can encourage more people to report hate crimes.
May I add one more thing that I failed to mention? I'm sorry. One of the other factors that the district attorney's office put into their form is the opportunity to be connected to resources for folks who are going to hear about the form and put in something that occurred to them, that even if they didn't want to reach out to law enforcement, they would be able to be connected to resources and have all of those different groups in the background there to support and assist. And I thought that that was a nice add that was included by the district attorney's office, that it's not just about, you know, getting the data, it's about truly assisting the individuals that have been affected by hate in our community. And so I just wanted to also highlight that for anyone who's watching or for anyone that's here, it's important to fill out this form, not just for our data collection purposes, but also so that you get the resources and the assistance that you need to be able to work through the victimization that people are suffering.
I have a few questions. First of all, I was really impressed with the work. So is this the form that people are going to fill out? From the commission's point of view, this is the filter through which everything goes?
Correct.
I got that. Okay, so Irvine sends you information, Santa Ana sends you information, and then we filter it that way, or individuals as well do
Correct.
That?
Correct. All of the above.
Okay, that's awesome. So we have one way we're judging everything through this portal, basically.
And there are questions that kind of branch off depending on how someone answers, but the very first question is, I'm the person targeted, I'm a witness,
right.
I remember reporting on behalf of someone else, which is, I'm a community organization or a district, you know, as depending how somebody answers.
Gotcha. So that's awesome. Second question, and I don't know, Commissioner, if you know the answer to this, but is there money left in the grant to do an ad campaign of some sort to
that's a Susie Price question.
That's a Susie Price question. I will be emailing her today. I mean, I'm just trying to connect
all
the dots here.
No, I
appreciate
that. But I believe there is an outreach component.
Okay.
There's an intention for an outreach component.
Yes,
what the financial
sure the funding,
breakdown is.
Yes, that I'm not.
I guess my question is, if the commission wanted to partner within that campaign, maybe we ask our supervisors to allocate a certain amount of funds to match it or something like that. I mean, that's just something for us to think about, but I'll reach out to Susie and get an answer and then report back.
I have a question, which is, do we already know like what the domain is gonna be for this reporting? Is it through the county? Is it like a DA.DA domain, or is it have its own? You may not know, it might be too early, but I thought about it because I thought about whether people would want to go to the DA's website and report something versus the county versus something else on its own. So I just asked that question because we may want to continue to discuss that.
My understanding that it is, it would be on the DA's office website, but that was a, there will also be links from law enforcement agency websites, from community group websites. The goal was not necessarily to log into a law enforcement portal, but that all of the different community groups would have the QR code and the link to the form. Sheriff's Department, for example, will have that as well. Each individual law enforcement agency or community group can push it out through their own means of communicating with their community members. And so while it may be hosted by the district attorney's office, I don't believe that the intention of the district attorney's office is for it to solely be go to ocdapa.org.
I definitely understand. And I will talk to Susie about it because, as you know, I'm a criminal defense attorney, former public defender, and many people I know would not go to the DA's website to report anything. And that's just the reality. So I think having it be on something else, even if it's feeding to the DA, but I know people just will not be going to that website as a result, and we just want more, not less, right? But I'll also share that information.
That's a wonderful point. I'm pretty confident that is not the intention of the,
I know it. I don't think it would be in a million years.
Because we discussed having it in the different locations, because the whole point is access.
Exactly.
And being able to have individuals be able to reach out in the forum in which they are the most comfortable.
Exactly.
And so I can't say for certain that it would not be ultimately based through there, because ultimately it is their grant that they,
exactly,
and they are the ones that are leading this charge. But the intention is for each of the different groups to have that connectivity so that there isn't that, you know, fear of lack of information.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in a PR perspective.
Right. And you know, and I think that may be something too to look at, is that if there's kind of a landing page, I guess, that's easier to remember for people, right? Our county,
true,
email addresses and all of our .whatever, .whatever, it's hard to remember, right? And so you want, if someone's in crisis, right, to be able to.
Like a 211, but we have something else, right? Something like that. The other thing I would mention is that I did, and I'll share this with the commissioners, is that I reviewed not only the materials, but I also went on the link. And I think it's important as you're looking through this to do both, because the link language is a little different. When you go online and actually, like, you're going to go through the form, it's a little different than what's in the document. It's a little more confusing, actually. And I have comments, and I'm going to share those with Ms. Price. But the draft is a little different than the link. So I just wanted to share that.
And that's absolutely correct, because as was mentioned earlier, there are different drop downs. So depending on how a question is answered, it will prompt additional questions. And that's really difficult to do on paper.
Definitely.
So yeah, absolutely. And that's why the feedback is so important. So please, okay, provide that feedback.
Awesome.
It's really helpful.
And I think if folks are able to, you know, we have the holiday this month, but I think she's looking to get feedback back by the end of this month, because they're launching early 2026.
That cover number six. And I'm just gonna remind everyone, we are gonna lose a commissioner at noon. So in an effort to have a quorum, I'm going to ask that we just try to get through the rest of the agenda by noon. Thank you so much. Number seven, receive update from County Executive Office.
I'll be brief on this. As Rabbi Steinberg mentioned, this has been a building year. This is our fourth meeting in our newly constituted commission, and just wanted to thank everyone for their support and patience as we rebuild this commission, and just really proud of the work that everyone has done, and just a big thank you to the commission. Preview of the February 5th meeting. So we will be holding our elections for chair and vice chair. We will be receiving that detailed presentation from the district attorney's office on the full scope of the grant. So I think it'll be a great opportunity to flesh out what other opportunities there are in terms of any outreach and just getting that full scope, because I think there's going to be a lot of really great opportunities for not only the commission, but the community to be involved in that process. And so really looking forward to that, and I think it'll really help shape some of those goals for the commission for 2026. That's all I have to report today.
Thank you so much. Number eight, update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
I provided that.
You did.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Number nine, OCSD Interfaith Council update.
We had a great year. several events, and we're meeting next week, the executive board, to plan next year's events. Usually it's four events around a certain topic, and the sheriff really is to be complimented. He brings together a disparate group of faith leaders to talk about different issues. Our last one was on special education and access. So the sheriff's bringing people to talk about an issue, but you know, to earlier conversations, all interconnected. And the more we know, the more we understand about communities different than our own, helps us to build, I think, a better society. And so I think, you know, the Interfaith Commission was started after Ferguson, and Sheriff Hutchins at the time, under Sheriff Barnes, really worked hard on this. And Sheriff Barnes, he comes to every meeting, he leads every meeting. I mean, he's totally invested in this enterprise, and I think it seeks great, we get great benefit for it. So I'll let you know the calendar after next week.
Thank you very much. Well, I didn't mean to rush it either. It was only 2 minutes have passed, but that does appear to be the end of the agenda. So at this time, I'll call to adjourn the meeting, and thank you all so much for your participation and our guests for being here. Thank you. We'll see you in February.